Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, how you doing? And welcome to the show this week. And due to popular demand, we've decided to replay some of our favorite interviews and segments from the last several months here on the Kelly Alexander Show. It's been so much fun to wade through our archives and pull out the pieces that you've asked to hear one more time. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy listening to these amazing guests, as well as our wild segments that we've had so much fun to put together for you right here on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Are you feeling unfulfilled? Do you think that maybe you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing with your life? Maybe it's time to figure out what exactly is going on. To help us do that is radio host and author of the book, Step Out and Take Your Place, How to Discover and Live Your Everyday Calling, Krista Dunk. Krista, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Now, Krista, what are the signs that you are truly feeling unfulfilled and sort of need to examine your life? Because, you know, sometimes I think people are just overwhelmed and need a break, but how do you know the difference?
Oh, that's a really good question. I can talk about myself. I was someone for a long time who, boy, it's embarrassing how many different things that I experimented and tried and career paths and volunteer opportunities, just really trying to search and search and search for what my place was, what my calling in life was. And if I were to list out everything, all the different businesses I tried and all that, it would be, you would laugh, Kelly, you would just laugh. And at some point, I got so frustrated because I realized I'm just working my own plan here, but I'm leaving my gifts and my true calling on the table. Even though I just wasn't quite sure what my gifts were, what that calling was, I knew that the work that I was doing at that time just was not it. It felt like there was something missing. There was just something missing. There was a dissatisfaction there. And I think a lot of people have that feeling too. Is there more? There's got to be more. I'm missing something. Am I really making a difference? And I think also too, there's some clues when people are maybe feeling maybe even some depression, maybe even some things like midlife crisis where, you know, you're in your, maybe it's somewhere in the 30s. That's where it happened for me. And I was saying, you know, is this it? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I just don't feel like it is. There's got to be more. I feel like I was made for more. And I'm not sure that I'm making a difference or reaching my personal potential. I didn't even feel like I had come even close to tapping my personal potential. So I think those are maybe some signs that people could identify with potentially.
Where do you even begin to sort of sort things out, and are there specific steps to take?
I think there are some specific steps that you can take. For me, I didn't really know what those steps were, however, and hopefully by this book that I've written and the journey that I've taken, it will hopefully shorten the learning curve and the process for a lot of people. For me, I believe that the first step for me was being in that frustrated place and realizing that frustrated place and that dissatisfied feeling came from really not knowing the gifts and call that was on my life. And so I think that's the awareness part that happens first. It's like, oh, okay, I understand why I'm having these feelings of frustration. It stems from the fact that I don't know who I am and why I'm here. And so there are a lot of steps to take. I think the first one is you really have to seek God. He created each person. He created you. And to be searching for, you know, your purpose or your call or your life's mission or a vision for your future, apart from seeking the one who created and designed you, especially for a certain particular work and call, it's going to be another source of dissatisfaction if you're searching away and apart from God, I believe. So that's really, I think, the starting point is to say, I need some help. I need to understand who I am. I need to understand why, God, you have created me and who I am within your plans and your purposes on the earth today.
What happens if you're a person who is not sort of necessarily, I don't even want to use the word religious because I think that's a whole other sort of level, but mm-hmm. do you need to sort of find faith in something? Or if you are a person of faith, I guess you need to sort of channel that to sort of help you find your path.
Well, I would agree. I mean, for me, you know, I'm someone who is a church-going woman, and even church-going people and things are still, we still have a lot of questions. We still, many of us are unsure of who we've been created to be. Now, I would say if you're somebody who is not sure that God exists and you think maybe we've all come from monkeys and that, you know, all of that, then maybe this doesn't really matter to you, because I think then life at that point is random, and that leads into a whole different direction. But when you understand that you are unique, you have been designed with certain personality, with a certain set of natural gifts and talents, when you have certain past experiences that are meaningful, that you've come through and might have some wisdom to share with other people, when you have interests and passions and all of these things going on in your life, you got to take a look at that stuff. And you have to think, this is not a coincidence. I am designed for something specific. I have a certain set of what I like to call calling components at work in my life, and I can make a difference in a certain segment of the population's life. I might be a person who has a heart for, maybe it's single moms. Maybe you have a heart for cancer patients. Maybe you have a heart for teenagers, or maybe it's things like small business owners or things like that. I think there's a certain group of people that each person has a heart for and that we're called to influence and impact the lives in a positive way of that group of people. So there's kind of a lot of things working together that that play a part in what we're called to do today.
Joining us on the show is radio host and author of the book Step Out and Take Your Place, How to Discover and Live Your Everyday Calling, Krista Dunk. Make sure to check her out at stepoutandtakeyourplace.com. Now, Krista, to sort of, I guess, further along that last point you were making, I feel like it's then maybe important to pay attention to goals and desires that you may have had as a child, because I know in my own situation, you know, since I was really little, I've always wanted to be on the radio. And I think, and I was able to sort of realize that dream after lots of hard work. I feel that I'm fortunate because I don't know if it's just in my character traits, but I never let anything deviate me from that plan. Like, yes, there were sort of side streets, I guess, that I went down before I found my place, but I was very determined to get there. And I feel like there's some people that for whatever reason, life gets in the way. Maybe they found a 9-to-5 job that, you know, it's not great, but it pays their bills and they can live their life outside of work. Like, I feel there's lots of excuses for people to deviate from their plan. But then I feel like maybe on later down the road, they are going to be dissatisfied. So is it important to follow those goals that you've had as a child?
Well, could be. I think in some people's case, yes. I mean, it sounds like you've had a deep desire for a long time for something. And like you said, nothing, no distraction pulled you away from that. So obviously that's something that's very important to you. That's something that's in your heart. And like you said, that's been probably a life dream. And I think there are people who have that. I think that's great. I don't think everybody has that, to be quite honest. I can think about myself as a child, and I remember the first thing I said I wanted to be was a nurse. I actually spent a lot of time at doctor's offices as a young child, having several surgeries by the time I was probably age 8. And unfortunately, I realized at some point that I kind of couldn't stand the sight of needles, so that probably wasn't going to happen. But like you said, there are people who have these deep desires and this vision, this goal that will not go away. But many people they're kind of clueless. They don't have direction, but you know, they deep down inside, they really want it. So if you're someone who you can think back at, you know, maybe you were 9 or 10 years old and you just have this dream, this goal that just kind of burned within you, that's definitely something to take note of. And especially if it's something that fits with some of the natural gifts and talents that you have as an individual, I think anytime you can go in the direction of what you're gifted at, that's a really good plan. Although that brings up another point too, Kelly, is sometimes we are unaware of our own gifts because we're kind of too close to them. They're not very apparent to us because it's just like, oh, well, can't everybody do that? I mean, it just comes so naturally, you don't really think about it. And so though that's kind of a process too, part of the journey is really digging into the things that come really naturally to you that you're just good at, these natural talents. And that also might take some talking with a few other people who are trusted, maybe mentors in your life, people who've known you for a long time, who have your best interests in mind, who can maybe help you identify some of those things that you might not notice in yourself.
And how do you, I guess, you know, if you are a person who maybe has a multitude of interests or you might be good at a bunch of different things, how do you start to narrow down, you know, these universe gifts that you've been given? And sort of figure out where you're supposed to be going. And is it, do you have to, I guess, be really sort of paying attention to your internal body? Like, cause I know, you know, cause like I said, even though I've had this goal to be on the radio for years and years and years, there were side streets and it wasn't easy to get where I got. And so sometimes, you know, you really have to sort of hold on to where you think you're supposed to be going. But I knew inevitably when I did get a taste of radio in those early years, I felt very content. And that seemed to be, to me, to be the defining factor that, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Well, I can identify with that when you say, you know, what do you do when you're somebody who has a lot of interests and seems to be good at several different things? That's, I had to really take a look at that in my life. And, you know, I was like, okay, God, why do I have an interest in all these different areas? And that's something I think you should take a look at. You should probably even write them down. What am I interested in? What am I passionate about? What kind of personality do I have? What kind of skills have I learned at different in different educational settings and work settings? What do my natural gifts and talents include? And all of these different pieces of you. And I think this is what I did. And I sat down. I was like, okay, God, bring things up to my memory that I can write down, because I've always been someone who has been good with, you know, athletic ability, good with written communication and all of these things. And I thought, wow, this seems really scattered and random stuff. Like, I have no idea how this past dance experience is going to combine with the sign language training that I got in college. You know, I had all these random stuff in my life that did not seem like they should fit together at all. And at some point during my journey, just with, you know, process of prayer, process of self-assessment, of just really trying to seek God and ask. You know, in the Bible it says to ask and you shall receive, and to knock and the door will be opened. And so I think when we are seeking and we're asking and we're knocking, we're going to get some answers. And that's what happened for me. And at some point it became very clear, all these random scattered pieces of who I was came together and all the dots were connected and it made sense. And I had this big, like, aha in pieces. I probably had like two or three ahas, and then it all made sense. And I was like, I see and I understand who I'm supposed to influence, who I'm called to impact. I see what exactly all these pieces of who I am and my abilities. And I think, Kelly, there's a message too. You told me the other day that you have a heart for educating and inspiring people. Mm-hmm. And so that's something meaningful. That's something that's inside of you. And then there's a method by which that can happen. And for you, you said this is a radio job, and this radio experience has just been something in your heart for a long time. And so you have a very good platform. You have a good opportunity to educate and inspire people. And in what sort of a way, then, you'd probably want to take a look at? What kind of message is it that you really want people, you know, because, you know, normally if you're somebody who wants to educate and inspire, you want to make a difference in the lives of others. And then you have to figure, okay, who are these people exactly that I have a heart for? What is the message that I want them to walk away with? And I believe your true calling is really going to be something that God wants to speak to other people through you. It's something that's important to Him. Maybe that's strengthening people's, even just strengthening them in an emotional way, in a health type way. Maybe it's, I mean, there could be all kinds of different things, helping people overcome pain that they've been through. You know, there's so many different things it could be. So hopefully that's helpful. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I guess too, you know, once you have found what you're looking for, no matter what it is, you know, is it a long road, or is it difficult to sort of manifest it? Like, for example, you know, let's say that the life that you're living now is not exactly what you've now determined it to be. And let's say you do have responsibilities that might not carry over to the new life that you want to be living, or it's going to be difficult. How do you go about making that happen? And just to give you an idea, you know, I had a friend of mine, and she sort of has determined that she, you know, likes being in the world of business. Like, it's okay. She's sort of, you know, okay with that. But when she was younger, she really wanted to be a marine biologist. And so if I just sort of use that basis as an example, you know, if she all of a sudden decided that, you know, she did want to go back to being a marine biologist, now it would be difficult for her because, you know, she's in this world of business. She has two kids to feed. Like, how would she go about making that happen?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that is what a lot of people have in the back of their mind, too. Right now, there's probably people who are going to be listening who are going to be in a very similar situation. They're going to say, I have a house, I have a car payment, I got a, you know, I have all these responsibilities. I've kind of built this life on this income that I have from this job that I think, mm-hmm. I'm not really excited about going there every day, and I don't feel like I'm making a difference. And that's a reality for a lot of people. In fact, most people, I would venture to say. And I think here's a good thought. When you're in that kind of position, don't let your mindset say, well, never mind. It's just not going to work out. I'm going to just give up on the dream. I'm going to give up on that vision or that calling. I don't think that's what we want to do, because that's going to really, we're going to be in a sad place for a long time if we do that. What we can do, though, is what kind of decisions is your friend going to be making in the future? Can she, with every like life decision, move in that direction somehow? I think once you see, this is something that I really truly believe, once God reveals to you the call and the plan and the work that He has for you, there's a scripture that says a man's gift makes room for him. And I believe that there will be opportunities that will come your way, because if God wants you to do something, he's going to ask you to step out, but He's also going to supply what's needed at that time. And I believe that there will be things that will come up for your friend if that's truly the direction that God would be calling her to go in. There will be things and opportunities that pop up for her. And I think with every life decision, like I said, move in that direction. Don't move further away. I mean, if it's even down to things like, should I buy that new car or should I just keep my old car? And, you know, maybe if I buy the new car, that means I'm going to feel stuck in my job. Maybe if I don't buy that new car, it's going to be, there's going to be some financial wiggle room to maybe make some different decisions, things like that. So just a few hints, just a few things to think about there.
Chris, I just find all of this fascinating. And where can people get a copy of your book?
Well, the best place to go is actually the book's website. And if you can remember the title, the website address is the same. So that's stepoutandtakeyourplace.com. And then also westbowpress.com is the publisher. They have it there. And so does Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So, yep, I would suggest going to stepoutandtakeyourplace.com. There's lots of information there. You can read a little bit more about my story and why I do what I do. And also I have a free newsletter, too, that people can sign up for. And I send out some tips and inspiration and encouragement a couple of times a month on that newsletter as well.
That's fantastic. Krista, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly. I've appreciated being on your show.
That's radio host and author of the book, Step Out and Take Your Place, How to Discover and Live Your Everyday Calling, Krista Dunk. And again, make sure to check her out, stepoutandtakeyourplace.com.
World's greatest. Come on. Yeah. World's greatest. I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am a swift wind sweeping the country. I am a river down in the valley. Oh, I am a vision and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. A giant, I am an eagle. Oh, I am a lion down in the jungle. I am a marching band, I am the people. Oh, I am a helping hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life I'll reign, love
I will reign,
and the world will notice again.
I made it.
I'm the world's greatest.
Oh, I'm that little bit.
I'm that little bit.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Bring my back against the wall.
I can
feel it.
Feel it.
I'm the world's greatest.
Whoa.
I'm that star up in the sky.
Star up in the sky.
I'm that mountain peak.
Oh, yes, I am.
I made it.
I'm
the world's greatest.
And I'm that little bit of hope. Yeah. When my back's against the wall,
I can feel I'm the world's greatest.
I saw the light and
I'm that star up in the sky.
I'm that
mountain peak.
Even the prodigal at the end of the rainbow,
I'm the world's greatest.
And fame was right there.
I'm that little bit of
hope, yeah.
When my back's against the
locked door,
I feel it.
Now I can just walk.
I'm the world's greatest.
And it's the greatest.
Can you feel it?
I think for a lot of us, there is some sort of curiosity about the universe and what it all means. And sometimes that even translates into our own specific set of circumstances. Like, does our name tell us something about ourselves? Or does our date of birth hold particular significance? To help us answer what the numbers mean in our life is renowned numerologist and author of the book, You Know Your Name, Look Up Your Numbers, Michael Fierro. Michael, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you for having me.
Michael, I'm sure you get a lot of naysayers when it comes to your profession. What do you say to the skeptics out there?
Oh, let me do your name. That'll change that very quickly.
I'm not saying I'm a skeptic. I just wanted to know because I actually had the great opportunity of interviewing a name expert, a namologist, and she also said that she sort of had that same issue where people don't believe until she does the reading.
And that's true, because you know, obviously people are very skeptical. And the thing with numerology is there's an element of it that's very unknown. Now, I've done plenty of lectures throughout my career, and I would have to say that a good 90% of the people don't even know that numerology exists, let alone know what it is. Now, the thing to me that gives it a great deal of credence is its numbers. And numbers are the one constant in the universe. Everything around you, everything that you can see, feel, and touch can be reduced to a mathematical equation. When they put a man on the moon, it's a mathematical equation. The table of elements from science class, they're all numbered. So numbers are the constant. And because they are the constant, there's a level of validity to that that permeates everything.
Okay. Can you then explain, I guess, for people out there that don't really know what numerology is in the grand scheme of things then?
Sure. First of all, it's an ancient esoteric science. To a degree, it's a sister science to astrology. It dates back at least 2,500 years. Pythagoras is generally considered to be the father of numerology, but in my reading, I've discovered that it probably dates back to the ancient Chaldeans, the Sumerians, and perhaps even before that. It's based on the numbers 1 through 9 and the alphabet as we know it. Now, a reading is done based on your name, the way it is spelled on your birth certificate, and your birth date. Now, I emphasize the way it is spelled on your birth certificate because if your name is misspelled, we look at the misspelling. If you were one of those individuals who, when you were born, your parents didn't quite know what to name you, and your birth certificate says female Jones or baby boy Smith, that's what I read.
So then, for example, for myself, on the church birth certificate, there was an issue where the secretary misspelled my name. And so it's now been corrected, like officially in the province of Quebec, it's all been taken care of. But does that sort of screw up mean anything?
Well, and now when you say the church birth certificate, what about the birth certificate that was issued from the hospital?
I believe that one was correct.
Okay, that's the one I look at.
Okay.
The church thing, no offense to the church, but it really doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
And one of the points I want to make about numerology in comparison to astrology is this. As we have discovered in the last 6 or 8 months, on two occasions, people have come out and said, for astrology, there was a guy in Wisconsin who said, oh, we need to consider this constellation. And then a few months later, NASA came out and said that there's a very strong probability that there's another planet on the other side of Pluto. Now, if that is in fact the case, that is going to have an effect on astrology because it's going to change charts. With numerology, there's absolutely no chance at any time that we're going to discover a new number between 1 and 9. So there's a constancy there. The other point I want to make is this, in the case of twins. Now, if someone has twins and they are born literally minutes apart, the chances are very strong that they will have the exact same astrological chart. Have you ever met two twins who are exactly the same?
No.
There's always differences. What is the difference? The difference, in my opinion, is the name, because the numerology is different. And in the work that I've done with twins, I can very strongly see the difference from one twin to the other because of the name and the personality that that name creates.
How did you get involved in numerology to begin with?
Back in the mid-80s, I was living in Florida. I came back up to New Jersey for a surprise birthday party for my mother, and after the dinner, we went to my sister's apartment the siblings did, and we were just hanging out. And my youngest sister started doing this numerology stuff. Now, I had never heard of numerology. I had no idea what it was. And she did a reading on me that was just unbelievably accurate. And before anybody says, well, she's your sister, how does she not know who you are? I'm 5 years older than she is, and I was out of the house before she was in high school, so we never really knew one another. So she did this reading. It was extremely accurate, and it piqued my curiosity. I've always had a good head for numbers and math, and the fact that it was number-based really, you know, again, got me interested. And I dabbled in it for a few years, and then in the early 90s, I started to study it more in earnest. And in the mid-90s, when I had moved back to New Jersey, I started to do it as regularly as I could. I was doing readings locally in a coffee house, and I started to do some lectures and stuff. And I really dedicated myself to learning as much as I could. The more I did it, the more I start to see combinations and trends in things that I hadn't ever found in books. So I discovered a whole other level of interpretation. And it's always been my passion, and over the last 2 years, my life has taken some twists and turns that have put me into the position where I could finally dedicate my life to this. So last year, my book was published, and now I do whatever I can to promote my work, the book, and introduce people to numerology.
And a question for you, because I think it's fascinating that you said that it was your sister that sort of got you into it, and then, you know, you took it up and have taken it to new levels. Can anyone sort of pick up the type of skills required to do numerology then, or does not everyone have it, I guess is what I'm asking?
If they bought my book, they would have, there's enough information in my book that you could learn the rudimentary skills, and you could certainly do your own chart. The important part with numerology is learning how to do the calculations accurately. I've come across numerology books that make mistakes in calculations, and I'm very strident when I emphasize that the calculation needs to be done correctly in order to get the proper interpretation. But this isn't really rocket science, you know, where like with astrology, where you have to cast the chart and there's all of those angles and aspects and things that you have to deal with. In numerology, it's kind of straightforward. Now, obviously, with my experience, I have the ability to see interaction and the way certain numbers work in conjunction or in conflict with other numbers. But again, basic, rudimentary, anyone could figure this out.
Just a question as well, when it comes to, you know, the way your name is spelled and then also your birthday, does the time of day also affect things, Michael, or does that not really matter?
No, it has nothing to do with numerology. Only astrology is the time actually a factor.
Okay. Joining us on the show right now is renowned numerologist and author of the book, You Know Your Name, Look Up Your Numbers, Michael Fierro. Make sure to check him out at numerologyandpersonalempowerment.weebly.com. Michael, I'm assuming, you know, and I kind of want to ask this because I feel like, you know, there are people out there who are searching for answers, and especially maybe if they've gone through a rough time in their life and they're trying to cling on to something or cling to something to get maybe the answers they're looking for. What do you say to people that might be a little overzealous, whether it's something with what you do, numerology, or, you know, people like namologists? What do you tell people that are trying too hard, I guess, to get answers out of this?
Well, my counsel to people is always this. I mean, I know a lot of people, I call them psychic junkies or workshop junkies. They're forever going to people to get answers, yet then they never implement the information that they receive. I strongly encourage people to learn to trust themselves. The goal of my work is quite simple. It is personal empowerment through understanding, acceptance, and responsibility. Now, I want to emphasize, I'm not a psychic. I don't tell fortunes. The goal of my work is just that, to get you to better understand who you are, to accept yourself for who you are, and then take responsibility for yourself. Now, every number has both negative and positive attributes to it. If you are operating on the negative side of your numbers, then you must find a way to transition yourself to the positive side. And again, it takes some work, and it takes a commitment to oneself to want to make that change in order for that to be effective. And it comes down, bottom line, it comes down to, again, that word commitment and having the intention to improve your life and get out of being a victim. That's one of the reasons I emphasize taking responsibility. It's very easy to blame mommy or daddy or your ex-wife or husband or anyone else who ever crossed your path for all of your woes and worries. But the fact of the matter is, you are responsible. And as Marianne Williamson once said, if you're over 20 years old and you're still blaming your parents, you need to get a life. So again, it's about having the commitment, having the intent to make changes and being honest enough with yourself that you can identify these things and then find the way to move through them. Now, we all know people who are constantly in the same type of drama. And the point I always make to them is if you're having trouble with Susie and Tom and Mary and Bob, what is the constant in that? It's you. So you need to look at the fact that if you continually have the same type of interaction, reaction, situation with people, and it moves from one person to the next, the only constant is the fact that it's you involved with each one of them. So rather than, again, than blaming those other people, look at yourself. What am I doing that is creating this?
You know, I know we had discussed in an email that I had sent to you before I had you on the show was that I wanted to ask you about some celebrities that, you know, are sort of in the news right now. And, you know, because some of them are going through their own sort of set of drama. And so, and actually one of them you brought up on your own, and I think I would just like to ask you about that. And I know his name is we know him as Charlie Sheen, but you obviously know his real name. Can you sort of tell us what's been going on with him?
Sure. Actually, I have his chart here. Hold on one second. Charlie Sheen's real name is Carlos Erwin Estevez. Now, to backtrack a little bit, as I said, my work is based on the spelling of your name, the way it is on your birth certificate. I don't read current names. If you are married and you changed your name, I don't look at that. I look at who you were when you were born. Because you need to look at name changes this way. Think of it as Halloween. On Halloween, you dress up as Wonder Woman, and you go out and you socialize, you go to a party, and people see Wonder Woman. But underneath that costume is you, Kelly. And you never go away, no matter how long you keep that costume on. And the name change is the equivalent of putting on a costume. And what happens is when you change your name, you then create what is called intrapersonal stress. The numbers start to fight one another. You get conflict between the two vibrations. And Hollywood is a wonderful example of this because Hollywood is filled with people who have all types of personal problems. And part of the issue there is that so many Hollywood stars don't use their real names. And not only do they not use the real names, they are in a business where they are playing someone else. So I can certainly understand why they go through the things they go through because they become somewhat untethered from their own identities. And with our boy Charlie, in numerology, there's four major numbers, and then there's one set of numbers, which is a fifth condition. The first number is known as the soul urge. The soul urge comes out of the vowels in your name. And your soul urge is who you would truly like to be. If I were to give you a magic wand and say, Kelly, you could be or do anything you want, it would very closely resonate to what your soul urge represents. The next number is the personality or the image number. This comes out of the consonants in your name. This is the way you do things. This is also a first impression number. It's the way people see you upon first meeting, whether you know anything about numerology or anything else. Vibrationally, what you are picking up on is that personality image number. The third number is known as the expression, which comes out of the sum of all the letters in your name. And this is who you must be in this lifetime. The fourth number comes out of your birthday, and that is known as your birth path or your life force. And that's the field of experience or the environment in which you get to exercise who you are. Another way to look at this is your birth date is the road in life that you are traveling. And your name is the car that you are driving. Now, you can never get off that road because you can't change your birth date. You can change the car. You do have the ability to change your name. But again, I look at the car that you drove him in. And then the fifth set of numbers are known as the challenges. The challenges are the issues in life. These are the obstacles to wholeness. These are the things that are going to truly trip you up. And these are the things that in many instances would send a person into therapy. So I put a great deal of emphasis on them because they do have such a dynamic impact on an individual's life. So with Charlie, now, as I said earlier, numerology is based on the numbers 1 through 9, but there are a set of numbers known as master numbers. These are 11, 22, 33, 44, 55. They're master numbers because they're a higher calling. And it's my belief that to a degree you volunteered before your soul came back, it volunteered to come back and take on this role, because master numbers are numbers that can greatly influence the all. And because you volunteered to take on that task, if you come here and you don't do it, what happens is the energy of the number reverts to the worst conditions of the lower digit. It's the equivalent of volunteering to take the trash out at home and then never taking it out. Pretty soon you have a house full of garbage. So with Charlie, or Carlos, he has a 22 soul urge. Now, 22 is the master builder. This is the person, the individual, who has come to this plane at this time to help construct the new world. These are the people who are building the foundation, or laying the groundwork for the improvements and the changes and the transitions that are happening. These are people who have great vision, they have great imagination, but they need to develop practicality to put it to use.
Now, I just find all of this so fascinating, Michael, and I think a lot of people out there would also feel this way. Where can people get a copy of your book?
It's available through Amazon. It's available through Barnes & Nobles. Or if they go to my website, there's a button up top for special offer. And if they click that link, it will direct them to send me a check or a U.S. postal money order for $20.50 to me. What that will give them is a signed copy of the book, a complimentary one-hour DVD of a TV appearance I did on a station in New York, and I will do the charting for their reading. So all they have to do then is take that information and look up the appropriate things in the book to understand themselves.
That's amazing. And again, I want to put out that website right now, numerologyandpersonalempowerment.weebly.com. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Again, that's renowned numerologist and, again, author of the book, You Know Your Name, Look Up Your Numbers, Michael Fierro. And, again, his website, numerologyandpersonalempowerment.weebly.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
With the high price of gas and exorbitant airline fares, millions of people are staying home this summer and skipping an exotic or expensive family vacation. But just because you may need to stay close to home for financial reasons doesn't mean you can't make the most of your time off. To give us some good ideas and a fresh perspective on how to make the most of your own neck of the woods is Sarah Welsh. She's the co-founder of GetButtonedUp.com and co-author of Pretty Neat, The Buttoned Up Way to Get Organized and Let Go of Perfection. Sarah, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Sarah, is it really possible to take a relaxing break from the daily grind without leaving your home, neighborhood, city?
Absolutely, yes. The trick, and this is a really important thing to note, is a little bit of organization goes a long, long way. The biggest mistake most people make when they take a vacation or a staycation at home is they don't plan. So then they get to their time off and they're checking emails, doing the grocery shopping, doing the laundry, and it ends up being like any other day. And at the end of their little vacation, they're kind of sad. They feel like, oh, I didn't get a vacation. So you really do have to mentally put yourself in the state that, hey, this is really going to be a vacation and I need to treat it that way, and I plan for it in the same way that I would a vacation.
And I'm assuming that most families know at least a few weeks, if not a month or more, in advance that they're not leaving home for their vacation. And so I guess having this extra time, like you said, it has to be really important to plan what they can do in their own neighborhood.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would always advise families, in particular families with young kids, to give your week a theme, whether you have a week or 4 days, give it a theme, because there's something magic that happens when you give your staycation a theme. It could be something as simple as, you know, spa tranquility or beach getaway, or, you know, something like frontier days. It doesn't necessarily matter what the theme is, but once you have an idea that you can then start to brainstorm activities around, it takes on sort of a magical spin. So that's definitely something worth considering. And it's fun to do. I mean, gather everyone around the dinner table or, you know, around the couch at some point this weekend and just kind of throw ideas out there and have everybody vote on their best idea. It gets everybody engaged in how can we make this as much fun as humanly possible.
And how important is it to tailor your staycation like you would a vacation? Meaning, you know, if you're the type of family that when you are away somewhere else that you do, you know, tons of activities, like going to theme parks or whatever, is it important to sort of mimic that behavior here?
It's probably a good idea if that's what sort of triggers your brain to think, okay, I'm on vacation or we're on vacation. But they don't have to be expensive activities. I mean, you can make activities in your own backyard. So, for example, you know, you could have, this is just a little example if you have little kids. There are amazing tutorials out there online for putting together a $2 basically PVC pipe car wash for little kids. You hook up your hose to it, drill some holes in the PVC pipe, and you attach your hose to it, and it looks like a car wash, feels like a car wash, and is good fun for the whole family for an afternoon. You could do something like have a wine tasting party. Have your friends over. Everybody brings, you know, 2 bottles of wine. Give the wine tasting party a theme, like great refreshing reds under $10. And everybody brings 2 bottles of wine. You put one bottle that people bring over to the side and taste test with the other bottle. And the person who brings the winning wine gets to go home with everybody's second bottle of wine. Just sort of a fun twist. But you can have activities and lots of them in your own backyard without having to spend a lot of money.
Joining us on the show is Sarah Wells. She's the co-founder of GetButtonedUp.com and co-author of Pretty Neat and the Buttoned Up Way to Get Organized and Let Go of Perfection. Do things vary if your kids are a bit older, or do you hold them to doing activities like they would if you were on vacation? So I guess I'm meaning, like, you know, I'm sure some teenagers, if they are staying home, would rather maybe spend the days with their friends as opposed to with their family. Do you still make them join in, or maybe do you let them include a friend so that it's not as cheesy for them, I guess, as maybe they're thinking when they're 14, 15, 16?
Yes, when parents are no longer as cool as they once were.
Exactly.
I think that's a fantastic idea. I would say, you know, you do need to treat this as though you were going on vacation. So family time and together time is an important component of that. But absolutely, if you can open it up and have them include their friends or one or two very good friends in some of the activities that you're doing, they're much more likely to be excited about it anyway. You know, I mean, that said, teenagers are going to give you an eye roll or two, but they're often the ones who kind of get into it and end up having the most fun. So definitely include them in it. Don't let them just go off on their own.
Okay. And then I guess if we sort of look at things objectively, what are the main do's and don'ts of staycations?
So number one do is plan. So you're not going to want to go grocery shopping or 2 or 3 times during the week. You're not going to want to be doing laundry. So plan those chores so that you're not doing them during your staycation. Number two, give yourself blackout times. So times where you're not going to be checking your iPhones and Blackberries and emails and basically being online, because that is, the more you do it, the less likely you're going to feel like you actually got a break and we're on vacation at the end of it. And it can be very tempting when you're at home to just quickly check things here and there. Give yourself, you know, from, you know, 6 to 8 in the morning, I'm allowed to look at email. Otherwise, I'm offline. So that's another very important thing to do. Another great thing to do is go online and look for free events that are going on in your own backyard. You can go look on community websites, government websites. You can also look up websites like localwineevents.com that list free wine tastings, free food engagements that are going on in your own backyard. You just punch in your zip code and look it up. So that's another great thing to do. And then finally, I would say reach out to friends and neighbors. One of the things we all complain about in this digital age where we're going 300 miles an hour is I don't have enough time to really catch up with the people that I live next to or that I'm really good friends with. Plan reconnecting with friends as a major part of your staycation. It makes it that much more enjoyable. It is all about the frame of mind you bring to the few days or week that you have off and you're staying at home. If you are focused on making it fun and figuring out ways to make it feel like a vacation, you're going to have one. If you just forget to plan and, get to your time off and try to wing it, more likely than not, you're going to feel at the end of it that you got gypped, that you really didn't have a vacation.
Okay, fantastic. Sarah, thank you so much for hanging out today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Sarah Walsh, co-author of Pretty Neat, The Buttoned Up Way to Get Organized and Let Go of Perfection. And again, check her out at www.buttonedup.com.
Bring on the remix.
I feel like, I feel like, I feel like, I feel like, I feel like.
That's the Saturdays with All Fired Up, the Cutmore Killer Remix on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the program this week. We had a lot of fun looking back at some of our most special and entertaining interviews that we've done over the last year. And before I go, I want to leave you with your inspirational quote of the week, this time coming from William Frederick Book. Learn to adjust yourself to the conditions you have to endure, but make a point of trying to alter or correct conditions so that they are most favorable to you. There you go. Have a great week. Any comments or questions, Kelly at KellyAlexanderShow.com. You and I'll chat soon.
The Kelly Alexander Show is hosted by Kelly Alexander. Produced by Esteban Vargas, Barbara Purcell, Chris Paré, and Kelly Alexander. Original themes and production music composed by Ian Campbell. Thanks for listening.